and welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related, and I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick A ESP. Again, that's Nick A ESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin.
And we have a great radio show for you this week. We're obviously going to be catching up on a whole lot of stuff, but our deep dive this week actually is going to be on the presidential order for cybersecurity. We have a national cybersecurity standard that is attempting to be pushed through. We are going to talk about that. This is an important one. You definitely want to know what's going on here because it may impact you directly. So we're going to dive into that and obviously catch up on news, et cetera, et cetera. But here we are. So stick around for that. That's going to be great. Let's move on. And in vaccine news, we may have a COVID super vaccine thanks to artificial intelligence. Not sure if this is going to affect your 5G reception or previously inserted microchips on the other vaccines, but here's what's going on. Now, this is coming from TechCrunch, specifically Devin Koldewey. Thank you very much for this. And this is actually really interesting. And I understand that for some people, vaccines are very controversial, all that kind of stuff. I am not getting into that debate. Your beliefs on vaccines are your own. I'm not here to adjudicate that. I'm simply talking about the latest technology in vaccine technology, which I think is absolutely fascinating because artificial intelligence is able to do things and look at things in a way that we simply don't. And so here's what's going on. And again, this is, I just think, absolutely fascinating. A new approach to vaccines with a machine learning twist could put an end to boosters and seasonal variant shots, according to the researchers over at MIT. Now, this is a pan-variant vaccine that could or should, I'm sorry, specifically would ignore the virus itself, but quickly control infections by cracking down on the infected cells. Now, to be quite clear, this is still in the animal testing phase. It's nowhere ready to be deployed and all of that, but with COVID essentially becoming just a standard household name in the human population, longer lasting solutions than occasional boosters, I believe the recommendation is still once every 6 months, obviously, you know, here we are. This could basically break that cycle. The problem, though, is that as interesting and fascinating and as amazing as the mRNA technology-based vaccines are, and for the record, mRNA basically started back in the 1990s, and so it's been developed over decades. But as amazing as those are, they are reactive in nature, not proactive. In other words, you see a variant, you sample its spike protein or some other distinctive features of the variant, and then you basically put that into your immune system so that your immune system knows to be on the lookout for those variants. It's kind of like letting the rescued dog sniff the belongings of a lost hitchhiker or a lost hiker. There you go. And so researchers at MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab wanted to find another more enduring way to keep the body safe from a COVID attack. So a paper describing their findings was published this past March 9th in the journal Frontiers in Immunology. Now, the team decided to essentially punt on the idea of attacking the virus itself because its most distinctive feature, its spike protein, has been always changing, as we've seen this in various variants throughout the world. Instead, they focused on certain molecular signals that reliably appear on the surface of cells that are infected by the virus. If those can be spotted early, then the immune system's T cells could be deployed quickly. The infection then could be stalled before it even reaches a dangerous or potentially infectious level. These surface signals, called human leukocyte antigens, or HLAs, and essentially they present a variety of peptides to T cells, kind of like raising semaphore flags, if you will. If you're familiar with semaphore and how you move the flags, basically you're spelling out words. It's how ships can communicate if all communications are down. Now, if everything is in order, it's the usual combination of familiar peptides and T cells that this is essentially moving on. If something is wrong, a fragment of the virus could be hoisted up the flagpole and the T cells then would go to work, basically eradicating it. So the question is then, what does machine learning have to do with all of this? There's a lot of data out there cataloging the various proteins and amino acid chains found in the COVID virus. And so what they do is they turn basically in and what they turn into, as I should say, as they are infiltrating a cell, meaning this is what it looks like. This is what happens when they're infiltrating the cell. And then also how the cells indicate basically using HLAs to alert the body that they're infected. So machine learning algorithms are good at solving optimization problems like this, where lots of noisy data has to be sorted through for specific combinations of qualities. In this case, the researchers at MIT designed algorithms to catalog the relevant peptides and select about 30 that are present or quote-unquote conserved in all versions of the virus, but also associated with HLAs and are likely to be used as flags for T cells to see. In other words, they are giving it a massive haystack looking for those specific needles, and this is something that AI is incredibly good at. So in testing, transgenic mice given basically human versions of HLAs, and on top of it, this new vaccine, showed that they had a far more voluminous immune response in the short term after an infection. None died from the virus when compared to using the traditional mRNA vaccine, which is effective according to testing, but not this effective nearly. Now, an interesting possible benefit on top of this is that immunocompromised people may get important protections from this, while the mRNA vaccines don't necessarily work for them completely. Long COVID sufferers may also get some relief in the form of more comprehensive, basically a more comprehensive immune system awareness, and therefore assaulting against these kinds of viruses, especially when we're talking about resilient infections. And obviously the applications for this go well beyond COVID. We have plenty of other things. Imagine going through this and wiping out things like the flu, because the flu obviously has variants. We get a booster once a year, a new flu shot, all that kind of stuff. Now, if we are able to recognize what is consistently flu throughout the years through variant after variant after variant, this may essentially solve that issue. So I think this is interesting. I think this is really promising technology. Again, I do not care, what you think of vaccines. Please do not send me hate mail or Nick, you're an idiot. You know, vaccines are, ruining 5G or whatever it is. I'm not interested in that conversation. But the technology behind this and the application of artificial intelligence, I think, is absolutely fascinating, because we are solving some problems that could, using artificial intelligence and leveraging the computing power that this has and the way that it can intuitively sift through large amounts of data to cut through that noise is essentially the name of the game. So we may be able to develop things significantly faster by virtue of letting the computers do the work for us. Obviously, it requires testing, it requires validation and all of those things, but this is a really promising step. So we're going to see what happens. I'll keep you informed if I get any more news on this, but sooner than later, we may have super vaccines, and providing it's not turning us into zombies, we should be good.
Oh, and real quick, don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, basically your favorite social media platform. I'm either at Nick AESP or /Nick Espinoza at any one of those. Come feel free to follow me. It's always a good time. I do daily content on tech, on privacy, on cybersecurity. You'll be informed. I think it'll be interesting. So stick around and make sure to follow me.
You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for Breaches of the Week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you, or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can email questions at securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions at securityfanatics.com. And I'm more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout out on the air. With that, let's begin.
As always, I'd like to thank the following people that sent me a lot of this information. That would be Andy Jenkinson, Barrett Peterson, Jay Dance, and Lethabo Nkosi. Guys, thank you very much. And if you have a tip for me, please send it my way. Thank you very much. Let's get started, because quite frankly, this week in data breaches was absolutely nuts. And we are going to start with online mental health care platform Cerebral. Now, Cerebral reported a healthcare data breach to the HHS, impacting more than 3.1 million individuals. Cerebral provides online therapy and medication management to millions of users. Quote, like others in many industries, including health systems, traditional brick and mortar providers, and other telehealth companies, Cerebral has used what are called pixels, similar common technologies, tracking technologies, such as made available by Google, Meta, Facebook, TikTok, and other third party platforms. platforms on Cerebral's platforms. In other words, they were integrating tracking pixels, probably from the social medias of the world. This was a massive problem that we saw disclosed about 6 months ago. Cerebral has been using these technologies since they began operations in October of 2019, until it launched a review of its data sharing practices a couple years later on. And January 3rd of this year, they determined that they had disclosed protected health information to certain subcontractors, quote, without having obtained HIPAA-required assurances, end quote, meaning signing business associate agreements and all of that. But this is a huge problem. The integration of Facebook into like portals that you're talking to your doctor, and Facebook or TikTok or whoever is capturing this information, is a huge problem. So we're coming out huge because Cerebral is obviously dealing with mental health. And if anything regarding your mental health is on Cerebral that is captured in one of these tracking pixels, now the Facebooks of the world have this. They can data mine you and on and on and on. Not to mention if it's TikTok, a foreign government does as well. So that's a huge, huge problem. So heads up to you, Cerebral users. We are starting this week strong. Moving on. I want to give you a quick update on the Forta Go Anywhere disaster. As I mentioned, multiple organizations have to report now as they were using it, and this week is no different. Merit Health in Biloxi, Mississippi, basically had to declare a data breach of 1 million of their patients for personal protected health information. So that's obviously a huge issue. So heads up to you, Merit Health Biloxi, your organization or your hospital or your medical institution was using Forta Go Anywhere, and you got caught up on it. Eventually, I think you might be entitled to compensation. We'll see. Moving on, I want to give you a quick update on the Swiss data protection firm known as Acronis. You may know of them or use their backups. Apparently, this is what happened. An attacker announced on a popular cybercrime forum this past Thursday that they were, quote, leaking data of a cybersecurity company called Acronis, end quote, claiming that they had hacked the company because they were bored and wanted to humiliate them. Really, get a hobby, one that's not crime. Now, the cyber criminal published a 12-gigabyte archive file allegedly containing certificate files, command logs, system config, and information logs, system file archive scripts, and backup configuration data. After the incident came to light, the company's CISO, Kevin Reed, clarified in a post on LinkedIn that the leaked data appears to come entirely from a single customer's account. Now, Acronis has separately clarified that none of its products were impacted by this data breach. So we'll see. But assuming that Acronis is correct and their CISO, Kevin Reed, is accurate in this, again, we have no reason to doubt it at this point. Looks like one customer may have had their portal severely hacked, and now this attacker, because they're bored, is claiming they hit all of Acronis. We'll see what happens there. Good luck to Acronis, but if you use Acronis products, heads up to you. Hopefully you're not that one customer, and I assume they've notified them. Moving on. Let's talk about Codman Square Health Center, because on March 1st of this year, they filed notice of breach with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services after learning that ransomware essentially went through their network. Now, based on the official filing, the incident resulted in an unauthorized party gaining access to consumers' names, addresses, and protected health information. After confirming that the consumer data was indeed leaked, Codman began sending up breach notification letters to all individuals impacted. So heads up to you if you use Codman Square Health Center for all your health needs. Moving on, let's head on over to Taiwan and talk about electronics maker Acer, because they confirmed they suffered a data breach that compromised the intellectual property that they were holding, among other such items. Now, the company confirmed this breach, which occurred mid-February of this year, and basically this happened after the attacker began selling the compromised data on an underground forum this past week. Acer, for the record, is the world's sixth largest PC maker, and they suffered to basically what appears to be a treasure trove of company data being released, including 2,869 files and 655 directories, totaling approximately 160 gigabytes. The threat actor called Kernelware broke into a server hosting private documents that were used by apparently the IT or technical staff of Acer. So heads up to you, if you work for Acer, you're probably aware, but that's not good. Obviously a black eye. Hopefully no customer data was impacted as well. So if you use Acer products, you better be on alert. Moving on, I want to give you an update on a company called AccuTech. Now, AccuTech agreed to a class action settlement to resolve claims that their 2021 data breach compromised consumer information due to their substandard cyber cybersecurity measures. The settlement benefits consumers, basically, who received a notice from Accutech that their personal information may have been exposed as a result of that breach on August 16th of 2021. The settlement allows for $325 for bank fees, communication charges, travel costs, document fees, credit expenses, and up to 3 hours of lost time at $20 an hour. For the record, your lawyer probably cost $400 an hour. Now, the settlement also allows for up to $5,000 for extraordinary issues that have been unreimbursed, documented monetary losses as resulting from fraud or identity theft. And to receive these benefits, you must submit a valid claim before July 24th of this year. So hop to it, Accutech, go get your money. Moving on. Let's talk about UNC, that's the University of North Kakalaka at Chapel Hill. They potentially expose sensitive and personal information, including social security numbers, when the university erroneously sent tax forms to the wrong people and entities this past January. Now, according to a letter sent by the university's privacy office to people potentially affected by this breach, the university on January 25th printed about 3,400 1099s, those are the contractor forms for the U.S. IRS, to be sent to, quote, distinct individuals or entities. Now, while those 3,400 forms were properly printed, only 2,214 envelopes containing the IRS forms were actually mailed. That resulted in the mailed envelopes containing multiple 1099s, meaning that in addition to receiving your correct form, some recipients also received the mailed envelopes that may have inadvertently and erroneously received forms intended to other recipients. Meaning if I'm a contractor for UNC Chapel Hill, I might have gotten a 1099 and I might have gotten your 1099 if you're a contractor because they done screwed up. So heads up to you, contractors for UNC Chapel Hill. Hopefully you're A-OK. Moving on. I'm going to give you an update on the PayPal data breach because a pending class action lawsuit is accusing online payments giant PayPal of failing to adequately safeguard the personal information of its users, leaving them vulnerable to identity theft and related ills at the hands of unidentified threat actors of that data breach that occurred late last year. Nearly 35,000 people were affected by this cyber attack. If you recall, I did talk about it back then, which used previously compromised usernames and passwords to gain access to PayPal systems. Now, PayPal's notice to users whose personal information was compromised indicated that the company first learned of the attack just before the holidays in 2022, and that attack was eventually determined to have happened between December 6th and December 8th of last year. This notice was sent out on January 19th and said that there was no evidence, quote unquote, that the compromised logins were taken from PayPal's system. Rather, it likely was that usernames and passwords were stolen from other cyber attacks, meaning stolen username and password out in the dark web, and there you go. So we're going to see where this goes, but if you're a PayPal user and you lost money or had your account hacked, you may eventually be entitled to compensation. Here comes the class action. Moving on, let's talk about Brazilian multinational conglomerate Andrade Gutierrez. Now, hackers criminal hackers, have stolen several terabytes of corporate and employee information from Andrade Gutierrez in a raid that the firm still apparently has not acknowledged publicly. Now, basically, they are one of the largest engineering firms in Latin America. They are responsible for major projects and infrastructure such as energy, oil, and gas transport across the entire region. However, a hacking group known as the quote-unquote Dark Angels claims to have stolen 3 terabytes of emails and corporate information, including name, email addresses, passport details, payment info, tax ID numbers, and health insurance information for over 10,000 of Andrade's employees. This is according to the Brazilian Report, a publication in that country. Now, hidden in multiple emails are passwords that could be used to log into municipal and state authority accounts, according to this report. Also among the trove are blueprints to several big-name construction projects completed by that outfit, including ports, airports, and several facilities used in the 2014 World Cup and 2016 Olympic Games, both held in Brazil. This is how big they are. So obviously that's a huge black eye to the infrastructure community in Brazil. Hopefully Andrade Gutierrez will get that cleaned up and no further harm can be done. Moving from Brazil, let's head on over to India and talk about HDB Financial Services, because they said this past Tuesday there was a data breach at one of their service providers which processes customer information. So this is a third-party hit, but we don't know who that third party is. HDB is working with the regulator and the office of the government to investigate this incident. Excuse me. Now, their headquarters, I'm sorry, not their headquarters, their parent company, HDFC Bank, said it was not affected by this incident, saying that HDB is an isolated entity where this attack took place. So hopefully that is true. So if you use HDB Financial Services in India for all your financial services needs, heads up to you. You may have a trouble on your hands. If you're an HDFC Bank customer, apparently you were not affected. Hopefully that continues to be true as well. Moving on, let's talk about the First Franklin Financial Corporation coming back here into the United States on February 14th, Valentine's Day. So that's great. First Franklin Financial filed a notice of data breach with the Attorney General of Montana after confirming that a recent data security incident compromised user data. Now, based on their official filing, what we're talking about are names, social security numbers, bank account numbers, routing information, as well as certain other information contained in consumers' credit reports. After confirming that this was leaked, they began sending out notification letters to impacted individuals as well. So heads up to you, First Franklin Financial Corporation customers. Moving on, let's talk about the international law firm of Smith, Gambrell, and Russell International. And this is an update because they are now facing two proposed class actions alleging negligence that basically led to their July of 2021 data breach that impacted more than 78,000 people. Now, Felicia Livingston and Charles Owen allege in separate lawsuits that the firm failed to have adequate security procedures in place to protect their personal information, allowing unmonitored and unrestricted access to sensitive information, failed to adequately train employees in data security, lacked measures to detect security breaches, and failed to encrypt sensitive information. That is pretty much the checklist of what you're supposed to do for just basic cyber hygiene. And so if all of that is true, wow, that is absolutely crazy. Smith, Gambrell, Russell International, that's a huge thing. Now, the firm also failed to provide timely notice of that breach, which, again, another big check. And so, assuming all of that is true, people are going to get paid. There's no doubt about that. That is just, there's just no excuse for not having these kinds of things, especially data protection around sensitive information. So that's absolutely crazy. So heads up, you might be entitled to compensation if you are a member or customer of Smith, Gambrell, and Russell International. Moving on. Let's talk about both Royal and Antrim Hospitals in Liverpool, England. These are apparently the two largest hospitals in that city. Now, a file with names, addresses, national insurance numbers, and salaries of staff at both the Royal and Antrim Hospitals was mailed to managers at the Trust. The Information Commission's Office, or Commissioner's Office, ICO, in the UK said that it offered data security guidance after this December incident. But following additional information, it is now, quote, making further inquiries, end quote. Now, James Sumner, Liverpool University Hospital Foundation Trust chief executive, said that the breach arose as a consequence of the, quote, unintentional sharing, end quote, of personal staff information during a file sharing exercise that was conducted to support management of payroll details as part of arrangements around strike action. So there you go. If you're an employee of either the Royal or Antrim Hospitals in Liverpool in the UK, heads up to you. You may have had your salary information dumped to people or exposed to people that had no right to see what you make. Heads up to you. Moving on, let's head out to the continent of Africa. I'm not sure which country in Africa here, but we are talking about Flutterwave, which is Africa's largest startup by private valuation. Now, last month, Flutterwave, as I mentioned, their largest startup in the continent, was involved in a hack that resulted in more than 2.9 billion local currency, which equates to 4.2 million US. They found it's missing from their accounts, according to local tech publication TechPoint Africa. Now, according to the documents seen by the publication and reviewed by TechCrunch here in the United States, unknown actors transferred the funds across 28 accounts and 63 transactions in early February. Police investigations are ongoing as Flutterwave, via legal counsel and law enforcement parties, has filed a motion to freeze accounts across 27 financial institutions that interacted with these missing funds, again, according to TechPoint Africa. So there you go. Obviously, that's a huge problem. If you use Flutterwave coming out of Africa, you might want to check in. Hopefully, you didn't lose any money. Moving on. Let's head back to the United States and head over to Richmond, Virginia, and we are talking about Henrico Doctors Hospital. Now, they are notifying 990 patients that some of their protected health information was compromised in a data breach. The health system detected suspicious activity within its informational network and launched an investigation into the incident, according to a March 3 notification. And here we are. Now, through this investigation, Henrico learned that an unauthorized party had removed or viewed files containing patient information from its computer systems. They did not mention what kind of data there, but assuming it's personal or protected health information or personally identifiable information, given what they are, Henrico Doctors Hospitals said it's a notifying all affected individuals. So heads up to you if you use Henrico for all your medical needs. Moving on, let's talk about basically communications giant, U.S. communications giant AT&T. It looks like AT&T experienced a data breach, leaving roughly 9 million customers' data exposed. The data breach didn't come directly from the wireless carrier, though, but occurred with one of its vendors. Now, this news originated from AT&T forums, where customers were curious about an email that has apparently been going out to affected customers since last week. This email discusses the breach that the wireless carrier experienced, sharing that it occurred with one of their vendor systems, which gave access to the wireless carrier's, quote, customer proprietary network information, end quote, system, known as the CPNI. Now, according basically to the firm, the system has a variety of different data about customers. This often includes types of items purchased, how many lines a customer has, what kind of wireless they have, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now, while that's already quite a bit of information, the firm does confirm that the CPNI does not contain more critical data like financial or personal information. Some examples of these obviously would be phone numbers, physical addresses, social security numbers, credit card information. Remember, when you sign up for a mobile phone or a home phone or any kind of service that you have ongoing monthly payments, a credit check is run. And so AT&T basically covers this. Now, I couldn't find out who this third party was. It's not being disclosed at the moment. There's speculation, but I don't speculate. I'm going to tell you when it's confirmed. But here's where it gets interesting, because the next one that we have on the list here for data breaches is Verizon. Yes, AT&T's largest competitor and the larger infrastructure player out there here in the United States, Verizon. Now, this is coming from Safety Detectives, which picked up on Verizon database that was posted to an open forum this past January. Entries contained within that date are somewhere between 2021 and January of 2022. Now, the analysis indicated that approximately 7.5 million wireless subscribers had some data points exposed, including what kind of service, what kind of device they had connected to a Verizon service, what rewards they were signed up for, what auxiliary subscription services that they had, like Apple Music, Disney Plus, YouTube TV, or Verizon Cloud. Each entry also contained a hash obscured customer ID, potentially using what's known as a SHA-256 key, as the original forum post noted. The dump also contained customer ID hashes, first names, usage and speed metrics, router specifications, and contract statuses of about 1.5 million home internet subscribers. Besides the first names, it seems no unencrypted personally identifiable information has leaked, but the exposure of those hashes still presents a threat if the right key or keys are found. Verizon was notified by Safety Detectives Research on February 8th. The company has yet to respond, and there you go.
And stay tuned. Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show. As we take a quick break for a public service announcement, we'll be back right after that.